all the subsequent events following the arrest, the trial, and the execution. He was the one at the foot of the cross. So as the eyewitness, I think it's helpful to study what he has to say about all these matters. It's interesting that John seems to understand the coming of Jesus' kingdom in a way that is almost ironic. Normally when we hear Jesus' words, "I won't taste the fruit of the vine until my kingdom is established," we think of what? The second coming, his final advent at some point in the future when he returns to establish his kingdom. But in John's gospel, you discover that Jesus' kingdom is not primarily a political or military institution. It is a manifestation of mercy and of divine love. In other words, it's when Jesus Christ is lifted up that the ruler of this world is cast out and Jesus is enthroned as king. This is the language that you find in John 12, verses 23 through 33. Jesus says, "When I am lifted up, when I have lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." And he speaks of this time as being the judgment of the world when the ruler or the king of this world is cast out. And then later on in John 18, verses 33 through 37, when Jesus is being tried by Pontius Pilate, when he's at his weakest and most vulnerable moment, it's that occasion when Jesus speaks more about his kingdom than in any other occasion. He speaks about the nature of his kingdom being truth. And Pilate's cynical response is, "What is truth?" But Pilate does notice, he says, "So then you are a king." And so he dresses Jesus up with ridicule in a purple robe and a crown of thorns. And then in John 19, verse 14, "Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.' They cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.'" Precisely at the sixth hour, John notices. Just coincidentally, it's the sixth hour on the day of preparation that the Passover lamb was to be slain. And here, the Lamb of God is being sentenced to die on the precise moment when the Passover lamb was led off to die. John also notices a few other important details as an eyewitness. For instance, in John 19, verses 23 and 24, John mentions that Jesus was not only wearing the garments that were divided up among the soldiers, but he was also wearing a seamless linen garment. In the Greek, it's a chiton. They had to roll dice for that one. What's interesting is that that word in Greek, chiton, describing Jesus' seamless linen garment, is precisely the word used in Exodus 28:4 and Leviticus 16:4 to describe what the high priest would wear when sacrificing. When the high priest would offer the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, he too was wearing a chiton, the seamless linen garment. John notices that Jesus is not just the victim, the lamb, the sacrifice, he's also the offering priest as well, both priest and victim all in one. John also is the only one, as the eyewitness, the only disciple there to have the courage to stay with Jesus and his mother at the foot of the cross. John alone notices in John 19, verses 33 and 36, that Jesus was the only one crucified that day among the three not to have any of his bones broken. Remember that the soldiers broke the legs of the two thieves to expedite their deaths shortly after Jesus died. And John notices, "Thus to fulfill a scripture, not a bone shall be broken." Now, what does that refer to? You go back to Exodus 12, verse 46, and God stipulates to Moses, "Go tell them to take an unblemished Passover lamb from the flock to slaughter for sacrifice." But in Exodus 12, verse 46, God demands that the Passover lamb must not have any broken bones. So Jesus is both priest and victim from beginning to end. And John sees it all. And John prepares us for this. When you read John's gospel, going back all the way to the beginning, how does John depict Jesus being introduced to all of us? John the Baptist does the introducing. In John 1, verse 29, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In other words, from the beginning of John's gospel